There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Today is Friday. We are going to be talking to Kyle Yates, and we'll do Dan and Kyle in the morning, where we'll break down every single game on the slate. But first, as we always do on Friday, let's talk to Dr. David Chow and get the latest on all the injuries that are going around the NFL. Dr. Chow, thanks for joining me today, as always.
Thanks for having me. And it's crazy. I mean, we're in the heart of the season now. It's gone fast.
It's crazy. It goes super fast. Again, you can find Dr. Chow at ProFootballDoc on Twitter and his site, ProFootballDoc.com, and he's at Outkick.com. Let's get into it, Dr. Chow. We've got the Raiders' entire offensive line here dealing with this. I mean, we know that Trent Brown is out, I believe. The other offensive line starters, they're put in this, quote, high-risk category. Do they have a chance to play this weekend against the Bucs?
They actually do. And I wrote an Outkick article in the Pro Football Doc podcast this past Monday, talked about what I called the, quote, new home field advantage. Obviously, home field advantage is different this year because you don't have fans or the limited fans. It's not quite the same, right? But this is the new home field advantage. Why? Think about this. Under the new protocols, after the Titans outbreak, etc., if you get put on the high-risk list, which the other four starters on the Raiders' offensive line have been, they went on the list on October 19th. They come off the list on October 24th and can be cleared for October 25th, which is Sunday, which is for the game. Now, if the Raiders had to play in Tampa, those four offensive linemen, in addition to Trent Brown, would be ruled out because you can't join the team to fly on Saturday. So this is the new home field advantage. You get an extra day. You saw it last week when Melvin Gordon, obviously he had some issues last week, but he also had strep throat, and he got it on Thursday, and he needed two negative tests to rejoin the team, and the team left on Saturday for New England, and he couldn't go. So that was where the road team was disfavored. So this is the new home team advantage, home field advantage. And yes, it is possible, maybe even likely, assuming they stay negative, that the Raiders will have four-fifths of their starting line back.
Okay, well, that's better than nothing, and so far so good today with all the test results. Let's go to Joe Mixon here. He has already been ruled out with a foot injury. I don't know if you can offer anything on this because it seemed weird. He came back into the game. I saw videos of him kind of dancing on the side, you know, in practice. Everything looked okay, and then he's just, there's no word on it. He missed practice all week, and he's been ruled out. Do you have any insight onto what this injury is and how long he might be out?
Well, I suppose no news is good news. I did look at the video when, in theory, he may have hurt his foot. It was on the touchdown run, about 7 yards. He was in a big pile, but it seemed like his foot wasn't caught on the ground, so it doesn't look like a bad Lisfranc or turf toe or anything like that. And he did quite a dance in the end zone after he scored as well, that I couldn't even describe. But in any case, and of course, not close to emulating either. But in any case, and he returned to the game. Right. And then, as you noted, he's been on the sidelines at practice, moving around, dancing around a little bit. So what this tells me is it's minor. They just don't want it to get worse. I don't believe he's going on injured reserve, but obviously he's not playing week 7. Week 8 is probably a possibility, but I can't tell you the specifics either because there was no clear view of what happened to him.
Yeah, one thing to note is that they do have a bye in week 9. So if this is at all serious, it seems like they'd be just careful and maybe keep him out an extra week. And of course, Gio Bernard is going to make a good start this week in fantasy in replacement. Let's talk about Michael Thomas here. Finally was going to come back from this high ankle sprain, which I assume at this point he would be fully or almost fully recovered from. And then we have word of a hamstring injury in his first practice this week. He hasn't been officially ruled out as far as I could tell, but it sounds like he'll likely be ruled out in this game. I mean, what can we expect here going forward? Number one, is he over probably the high ankle sprain whenever he comes back? And number two, how long do we think he's going to be out with this hamstring injury?
Well, this is clearly a story of good news and bad news. The good news is I believe the high ankle is fine. First of all, the timing on the high ankle, I believe, is fine. Second of all, you really can't hurt your hamstring going 80%. So, I mean, his high ankle, I think, is fine. The hamstring is the issue, and it happened on his first main day back from practice this week, and he hasn't practiced since, and I don't see him playing this week. The question is how long? I mean, obviously, hopefully it's mild because they haven't made an injury reserve move yet, but certainly at least this week is my expectation, and how much more after that we'll have to see. So once again, pressing pause on Michael Thomas again.
Been a frustrating year for fantasy managers rostering, and that's for sure. Let's go to a couple of QBs here who are both expected to play, but how effective are they going to be? First, let's talk about Baker Mayfield. He's dealing with this lingering rib, maybe an AC joint injury. Do we expect him to be able to be effective this week against Cincinnati?
Well, we talked about it last week, right? We expected him to play against the Steelers, but, you know, how well and with the shoulder and the ribs, at least to my suspicion. And obviously he did not do as well. It's very hard to pad a rib. You pretty much have to rib block it with an injection. And I understand why he might have been hesitant or even the doctors to do so, given the Tyrod situation this year. But believe it or not, another week makes a big difference, not only for any potential AC joint, but the ribs as well. I expect more of a bounce back week for Baker as they play another AFC North rival in the Bengals.
Yes. Yeah, and again, he will be without Austin Hooper, who had surgery to address appendicitis, but certainly it's good to hear of a bounce-back game, hopefully, for Baker Mayfield. How about Sam Darnold here? Not that much of a fantasy impact, unfortunately, for the Jets, my Jets. Look, he had a shoulder injury. He's been out for a few weeks. Now he's back at practice. Do you expect him to be able to be effective in his return?
Well, I mean, Sam Darnold, obviously, has some fantasy impact. I think in the Scott Fishbowl, I play a guy who has Sam Darnold, and obviously who he throws to, it makes a big difference too as well. Now, I do think he'll be back in terms of, I think I was more surprised that they held him out the last two and a half weeks because he got hurt on Thursday and finished the game. And now it's 3.5 weeks come Sunday from the injury. I think he'll be in the 90s in terms of where he's going to be. He's been limited practice, but he's going to start. And I think he has a very good chance of being mostly effective in terms of whatever the Jets can do. And on the other note, Austin Hooper, with his current appendectomy, we're just posting up at profootballdoc.com this right now, so you'll get it first, is it's not only going to be this Sunday, it's going to be next week too. I mean, if you're getting the appendectomy today, you're not playing next week either at this point in time.
All right. Well, David Njoku will probably be a popular pickup, at least in leagues that give tight end premium, points. Doc, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because something just came across the wire, which I saw. There was this vague Aaron Jones missing practice today, randomly just sort of came up. Nobody really knew what it was. There's a tweet from Tom Pelissero that says he suffered a very mild calf strain in practice Thursday. He wants to play Sunday against the Texans, but sounds like it'll be a game time decision. You obviously haven't seen video. This just came across the wire. I know you've been, busy in surgery all day. A mild calf strain, is this something where if Jones decides he can play through it, is it something where you would be concerned about re-injury mid-game, or if he goes, he's a full go and you're good to start him?
Well, of course, it always depends on the exam, but let me tell you, careful, careful, careful on Aaron Jones. If for fantasy purposes, my advice would be, if you have any other reasonable option, take it. First of all, I don't know that he will play. And if he does play, calf injuries are something that can indeed linger and definitely affects a running back like Aaron Jones. So this is, to me, a red light. I mean, be really, really careful here. Not only because it's a calf, not only because it's Aaron Jones and what he can do, but also we've talked about this before. The Packers medical and the team in general traditionally think long term. And that's a good thing, right? It's a bad thing for fantasy owners sometimes. It's a good thing. At this point, look, you just surprised me with the information. I have nothing to go on but this. But if I'm, looking at it analytically, I would be very dubious as to Aaron Jones playing slash and being effective this week.
Yeah, there's literally no information on it. That's just what came. It was a very vague sort of like, oh, there's some sort of injury. We don't know. And then it just came across there. But that is good. I agree. A calf strain is something that just in our experience as fantasy managers gives us a little bit of pause. So certainly fantasy managers want to be looking if Jamal Williams is out there, certainly. But definitely take a look and have a backup. Let's finish up on a couple of wide receivers here who look good like they're going to play. We just want to make sure that they're going to be effective. First is Keenan Allen, who suffered a back injury in the last game against the Saints. They've had the bye week. He's been limited in practice, but he's been back. Do you expect him to be fully effective in this game this weekend?
I do. And, he on the touchdown pass, he landed on his back and obviously some spasm. With the bye week, if there wasn't a bye week, I think he could have been back. And so with the bye week, there's a lot of extra time and room. Full go for Keenan Allen.
Great. And last one, A.J. Brown. He was, he had the knee bruise. He said he wasn't really 100%, but he was playing really well the last couple of games. Suddenly on Thursday, he missed practice with his knee, but he was back at practice today. Can we assume then with that, reading the tea leaves, that it's probably a little bit more of a maintenance day and they're being careful and he'll probably be good to go this weekend against the Steelers?
I think so. He's posted some good efforts already, and we were hoping that it wasn't a setback and more of a rest day, and it seems like more of a rest day. Now, I don't know what Mike Vrabel's practice pattern is, but, especially if Wednesday was offense install and Thursday was defense install and he got Thursday off, I mean, that would make me feel pretty comfortable that A.J. Brown's going to be okay for this weekend.
All right. Great information, as always, Dr. Chow. Thanks for stopping by. Just remind everybody where they can find more of you and your work, please.
Profootballdoc.com. A lot of in-game stuff. And the easiest way, instead of asking me on Twitter, which I'm happy to answer, but go to profootballdoc.com. It's free. Go to player search, type in the player name, and you'll get your latest information. And I promise you, your listeners, this, if it's not there, you want to ask me the question, I will be sure to answer it.
Excellent. All right. Well, we will be back in just a minute with the rest of the show with Yates talking about each and every game from this weekend. All right, Gadget, it's time for Dan and Kyle in the morning. What's up, Yates? How are you?
I'm good. I have a question for you. What's better, in your opinion, the butt fumble or Daniel Jones's run from last night?
Well, the butt fumble is very personal to me, of course, because I'm a Jets fan, and I was watching that game with my wife. I believe we were in New York. I believe it was a Thanksgiving game. And just the look on her face of just such pity, like she finally understood what it was like to be it. The Daniel Jones thing, though, was amazing. I do feel bad for him because, realistically, I kind of get it. because he's motoring, and there were some stats that went out about how fast he was, like 21 miles an hour or something like that. He's fast. And you could see him. He just sees the whoever the Eagles defender was kind of chasing him down over his left shoulder. And he tries to kick it into another gear, which there is no other gear at that point. And then he stumbles. But, man, he's going to be such a meme. And I feel so bad for him. But, yeah, man, even the least entertaining game can be entertaining. So yep. we'll get into that one again. Watching any football is better than nothing, but you know the drill here, guys. It's Friday. Yates and I are going to go through every single game that's coming up this weekend. We'll talk about start, sit, all the good stuff. But first, let me remind you about our monster giveaway that is going on through Halloween. So basically, one more week to go, 11:59 p.m. Eastern time, it closes. Remember, we're giving away, like everything, a signed black and gold Aaron Jones Packers helmet, a $200 gift card for Pristine Auction, a $200 gift card to Porter Road Butcher, a package of fantasy football goods for your league champion and your last place loser from Trophy Smack, and a 1 month subscription to Fubo TV. Remember that we changed it up a little bit about how you enter the contest this month. You can either follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Pros, follow us on Instagram at Fantasy Pros, or subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Fantasy Pros. If you do all three of those, it's three entries. That's all you need to do. We're not capped at one. You can do up to three entries for this one, and then just go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter. That's all it is, fantasypros.com/contest. So again, you've got about a week to go. It's a lot of good stuff there. Yates really wants the helmet, actually. We were talking about it last week. He was like, how do I enter? And he, don't worry, he is prohibited, I promise. So anyway, fantasypros.com/contest. All right, Yates, like we always do, let's hit the accuracy challenge to start. Again, that's fantasypros.com/challenge, free contest to enter. You can win up to a 3-day, 2-night stay at an MGM resort property in Las Vegas. Includes a round trip airfare. That is from our friends over at BetMGM. So let's go, fantasypros.com/challenge. Let's start with Cam Newton here, Yates, going up against the 49ers, 19.6 fantasy points over or under.
I'm going to take the over here, actually. I'm buying into Cam Newton, and I think it's last week he looked rusty. The entire Patriots offense looked rusty, but yet we saw them still commit to getting the ball on the ground, or getting the ball with Newton on the ground. And so moving forward, I think that the rushing ability is still going to be there to inflate those numbers. I expect him to find the end zone, so I'll take the over.
I do think that it will be a bounce back spot for the Patriots, but I will still go under here. Not by much, but I am taking the under. How about Justin Herbert at Jacksonville? We'll talk about, we talked about on Wednesday, how high we have him ranked, 19.4 fantasy points.
Yeah, I've got him at 20.5 in my projections system, so I will take the over here, but not by much.
Yeah, you're way too low. I have him at 20.6. Ezekiel Elliott against Washington, 18 even. What do you got?
Projections say take the over here, but I think just looking at the total situation here in Dallas, I actually might take the under.
Yeah, I'm going under on this one, 17 for me. So still a good game. I mean, 17 fantasy points from running back is certainly good enough. How about Kenyon Drake against Seattle, 12.5 fantasy points?
We saw a different version of Kenyon Drake on the field last week, and so I'm going to take the over here. It's a tough spot for the running back, but or for running backs against Seattle, but I'll take the over.
I'm going to go with a push. I have exactly 12.5 fantasy points. I guess when I have to take, I will just go the under because I always lean under when everything, all things being equal. But I legitimately have it at 12.5 fantasy points. Ronald Jones against Las Vegas, assuming they play, 14 fantasy points.
Yeah, I'm taking the over here. I think this is a smash spot for Ronald Jones.
Ditto. Will Fuller against Green Bay, 13.7 fantasy points.
I said recently this week that I'm done doubting Will Fuller, so I'm in. I'll take the over.
I'm on the same side as you. A.J. Brown against Pittsburgh. Assuming he's fine. He mispracticed on Thursday. I'm assuming it's just kind of a maintenance day, but assuming he's fine against Pittsburgh, A.J. Brown, 12.7 fantasy points.
Yeah, the matchup might indicate or might dictate that the line be a little bit lower here, but yeah, I'm still taking the over. It's A.J. Brown.
You know we don't talk about matchups when it comes to Tennessee. Juju Smith-Schuster against Tennessee, 9.5 fantasy points.
Ah, man. Dan, I'm going to take the under here.
I don't blame you. I have it over. I just have him projected for 10.1. But yeah, that's going to tell you all you need to know about Juju Smith-Schuster and where we're at with him. How about CeeDee Lamb against Washington, 11.5 fantasy points?
I'll take the over here.
Yep, me too. And finally, George Kittle against New England, 12.8 fantasy points.
You expect the Patriots to try to do their best to eliminate George Kittle and force Jimmy Garoppolo to send the ball somewhere else. It's what, you know, the Patriots do. They take away your best option. We saw it with Las Vegas and Darren Waller. They're going to try. It's not going to work. George Kittle over.
I'm barely over too. I'm a little nervous about it in that, I mean, like, I might drop him down to second in
right.
tight end rankings. But yeah, you can't get away from him. I lean over as well. All right. As I said, as you guys know, at this point in the season, it is early Friday morning. So we do not have the practice reports for Friday. I will try to give you some caveats. But let us start, as we always do, with the Thursday night game. Eagles 22, Giants 21. Carson Wentz, Yates, you and I were joking a little bit on Slack last night. He is so incredibly talented. He makes some throws that just kind of really wow you, but such consistently terrible decision making. It's crazy to watch. But let me, you know, actually quantify this here. No Zach Ertz in this game or for the foreseeable future. No Miles Sanders here. Never Alshon Jeffrey. DeSean Jackson was on a pitch count and then he got injured, which we'll talk about.
Still briefly. Got injured, yeah.
His offensive line is completely decimated.
Oh, it's trash.
25 for 43 for 359 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Another rushing touchdown. His fifth, by the way. Most of these are designed. Coming into the week, Yates, Wentz was 10th among quarterbacks in fantasy points per game. Mostly a brutal schedule. Now he's got, just had the Giants. He's got Dallas, then a bye, then the Giants again, then Cleveland, then Seattle. I mean, it looks ugly, but is Wentz back to kind of being a top 12 rest of season quarterback here?
Well, I mean, it's so frustrating. And I said this on our start sit show. I said, like, you presented a few options and one of them was Wentz. And I was like, I don't want to say Wentz based on what we're seeing on the field, but he actually might finish the highest. And based on what we saw last night, that might be true. I mean, looking at his opportunity and what he's, the rushing ability here is the big thing. Like, if he was putting up 359 for two touchdowns and an interception, and that was it, then I think he would still be someone that's a little bit further down in the QB ranks, probably around like QB 15. But because he is getting the rushing touchdown, the rushing upside, then I think we have to begin looking at him as a top 12 quarterback again for fantasy. It's not going to be pretty. I mean, we can say that it's not going to be pretty, but yet that might just be one of the things that you plug him into your lineup and then you don't watch that game.
Yeah. Now, I'm in a league where I roster Wentz, and somebody, it's a two quarterback league, and somebody's trying to get us to upgrade a quarterback and basically just like insulting Wentz and being like, you know, Wentz, blah, blah, this. And I'm like, I get all that. But, if you're not watching the game, then you'd be like, this guy's fine. He's a completely fine fantasy quarterback. And that's really what matters. He makes horrible decisions. But again, from a fantasy perspective, I'm not sure I have him in my top 12. I haven't updated my rest of season ranks. I like to wait till the end of at least Sunday to do that. But he's going to be borderline at this point, especially with the schedule lightening up. So it's good to see. Kudos to Tags here on Boston Scott. I think he had him somewhere up there at 16. 12 for 46 on the ground. He comes through with that late touchdown at the end. A beautiful throw, a beautiful catch. 5 targets, 3 catches, 46 yards, and the touchdown. If Miles Sanders is out next week, Boston Scott pretty solid RB2 against Dallas.
Oh, yeah, against Dallas, I think you fire him up. I think if he didn't have that touchdown, it would have been, you wouldn't have been super happy that you plugged him in. It would have been a fine game. But yet, that touchdown, again, was a phenomenal grab, phenomenal throw. So I think, yeah, just moving forward, we got to look at him as a low-end RB2 as long as Miles Sanders is out.
And again, he may be back next week. You would think with the bye, they'd opt to be careful with him. But it's a big game, of course, as they someone has to win that division. So we'll see. Meanwhile, DeSean Jackson did look good while he was in the game, but he did get injured on a punt. I don't even know if it was a fair catch or if he tried to return it. And I did something just came across. Sounds like a high ankle sprain, might need surgery. I don't know. But either way, DeSean Jackson is not going to play certainly next week. Then they have a bye, but probably not for a while. And you can go ahead and move on. So meanwhile, look, Travis Fulgham, another 11 targets, 5 catches for 73 yards. Look, we know DeSean Jackson now is out. Report that the Eagles are trying to trade Alshon Jeffrey.
Good luck. Fulgham.
All right, exactly. Do you think Fulgham is a wide receiver 3 rest of the season?
I think we have to start looking at him this way. I really do not think that the Eagles are going to be able to get anything for Alshon Jeffrey as far as a trade. And I don't know if they're going to be able to just outright release him because of his contract. So it's something to monitor. I think that as soon as we do see Alshon, you know, exit this team one way or another, then that's something where we say, okay, locked in. Travis Fulgham is a wide receiver 3 with upside every single week. Now, the thing is that I think in the meantime, we can't rely on that. We can't depend on that because Alshon could come back at any week. At this point, it doesn't seem likely, but who knows? So I'm not confident to say he's a locked in wide receiver three. He's more of a flex play every single week that gets a bump if Alshon Jeffrey is out of the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason they're willing to trade him is because they trust Fulgham. So I'm fine with him. I think I had him 40th coming into the week. Rest of season, that was before, you know, that was updated on Monday and Tuesday. So now I think he's going to be within the top 36. I feel really fine about him. Rest of season, it's great. And he's playing well.
He's
looking
great. He makes
good catches.
Looking great.
Runs great. Yeah, great routes. So that's good. Greg Ward also finds the end zone. Meanwhile, we joked about it a little bit, but with Zach Ertz out and with the state of tight end, Dallas Goedert is not back until week 10. Richard Rodgers here, 8 targets, 6 catches, 85 yards. You think he's someone who you're going to recommend as a start next week against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, with the tight end landscape, why not?
Yep, I agree. And it was like I was quasi-joking when I said it on Wednesday. We were like, anybody? We were like, no. And I don't know. I had him ranked 19th or something like that.
Yeah, I was right in that range too.
Yeah, so it wasn't something where, you know, you just couldn't. But yeah, he looked good. He got the targets. And again, there's nobody else out there. And Wentz will be throwing the ball no matter what. You only live once. For the Giants, you know, we talked about Daniel Jones's run. He does wind up with a nice fantasy day here. 20 for 30 for 187 yards, 2 touchdowns. He does have the pick. He does have the late fumble. And again, 92 yards on the ground. Should have been a touchdown. If you have not seen the play, just please go stop what you're doing right now and just go Google Daniel Jones running. But he does have a decent fantasy day here. But there are a few interesting things here from the Giants. First, Devonta Freeman, just 3 of 8 on the ground. We learned towards the end of the game, you and I were joking about it, we learned at the end of the game he was dealing with an ankle injury. Deion Lewis has a terrible fumble. Wayne Gallman, just 10 for 34 on the ground, but catches all 5 of his targets for 20 yards. If you watch that game, you felt like he looked pretty good, especially towards the end of the game. So the Bucs are on tap next. That's not a good matchup, of course, for running backs. But I assume that if we learn that Devonta Freeman is out for that game, that Wayne Gallman makes a pretty priority pickup, right?
Yeah. I think a gut reaction, you know, is that he would be a high-end RB3 in my rankings next week against Tampa Bay. Again, terrible matchup. But also, it was super weird, like, watching back through that game, you're like, Wayne Gallman looks great. He must have great stats. And then you go and look at the stat line, and you're like, wait, how did he only average 3.4 yards per carry? You know, like, it just felt
I had that exact same thought this morning, Yates, when I was going through the box score, and I was like, wait, that's got to be wrong. What? Because every time, especially at the end of the game, he was, like, busting off these 7, 8, 9 yard runs. I don't know. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, you know, he's a no-nonsense runner. He gets upfield. He gets what's there. And he's showed great contact balance, too. So, yeah, I was definitely concerned watching that game, especially as someone who started Freeman in a couple spots, going like, what is going on?
Right.
So to learn that he's got an ankle injury, that's just something we'll continue to monitor moving forward.
Yeah. At wide receiver, I mean, look, Sterling Shepard returns. He was going to be on a pitch count. He winds up playing 46 snaps, 6 catches, 59 yards on the score. What's your rest of season outlook for Shepard?
Yeah, I wasn't recommending him as a start in this game just because we had no idea what his involvement in the offense was going to be. Coming off of his injury, first game back, you know, like there were even question marks. Was he going to even play? You know, it was a game time decision. So, but moving forward, the Giants need pass catchers because we're seeing, you know, Evan Engram struggle. You know, we'll get to him in a minute. But then Darius Slayton was eliminated by Darius Slay. And so I just think, you know, there's an opportunity here for Sterling Shepard. Now, I'm not going to be viewing him as anything more than a flex option though in this offense.
Yeah, but he is somebody to add. I mean, it was he was impressive in this game, and he looked healthier and played more than I expected him as well. Let's talk about Evan Engram. Again, I kept telling you this is results over process because we talked on Wednesday. We're like, why is he 8th in expert consensus rankings? All 3 of us, I don't know where you wound up with him. I think I had him 13th or 14th for me. He got the targets. They tried to get him involved as much as they could. 9 targets, just 6 catches, 46 yards. At least one truly egregious drop. You could blame the pick.
The pick
that Daniel Jones had in the beginning, but that ball was fired
cooking.
Pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was tough. But that last drop, you know, that was really bad. I'm not sure I don't know what you want to say here about Engram. You and I have been basically saying he's a drop candidate for weeks, so I assume you still feel that way?
Not necessarily as strong as a must-drop candidate because, again, you can't ignore 9 targets. It's kind of the same thing with Richard Rodgers, right? Because you're looking at these guys, you just want targets at the tight end position with some of these other guys like Mike Gesicki, who's not getting any. You know, like, so to have that consistency, but yet, you can't be expecting anything crazy. Again, to rank him, we pointed that out, to rank him at 7, which is what he was during the start sit show, that was just crazy. That was egregious for me. Like, I just, you can't rank him there. So if you're plugging him into your lineup, you're looking at him as a high-end tight end too, and just hoping that he finds the end zone, which he did get the end zone target. Again, you mentioned, like, they were looking to get the ball his way. It was pass interference. Like, he could have made that catch, but looking at what we've seen from him, I'm just not feeling confident in him.
And I mean, to be as fair as possible, 46 yards and 6 catches, that's probably a top 12 tight end.
Like, right, that, right. That's, yeah, completely. Right?
Yeah, in half PPR formats. But yeah, the one thing is that there's some talk about, you know, there may be a fire sale at this point with the Giants. They might look to trade him, so monitor that. But yeah, when you're at that range of tight end, he's certainly not in the must-start option. But yeah, it was good to see them try to get him as involved as possible. But man, that drop towards the end of the game is just terrible. Anyway, let's get into previewing this weekend's game. Let's start with the Cowboys versus the Washington football team. Let's talk about the Dallas wide receivers. Which Dallas wide receivers are you starting this week?
You can still start Cooper and Lamb. They obviously get a downgrade with the way that Dalton looked last week. You know, we're not viewing Amari Cooper as a locked-in wide receiver one anymore, but he's still a high-end tight wide receiver two for me. He's still someone that you can roll into your lineup, and he's going to get the targets, and he has the opportunity to score. So in this matchup too, I really like him. So I've got Cooper at 16, so as a mid-range wide receiver two. Then I've got CeeDee Lamb at 21, and we talked about that on the Start Sit show, saying that if you have the offensive line that is struggling as much as they are right now, then, and especially up against the Washington defensive front, Dalton's going to need to get the ball out quick, and that lends itself to the short area targets for CeeDee Lamb. So I like Lamb this week, again, tempering expectations, not expecting anything crazy comparative to what he's been putting up, but those are the two guys that you need to be looking at. Michael Gallup, sit him if you can.
Yeah, I have Gallup at 45th. So, I mean, that's not out of the range of startable options if you're desperate and you need a flex. But yeah, I agree. With the offensive line issues with the Washington pass rush, that's certainly something that doesn't benefit Gallup. Let me ask you a little bit on Lamb, because he's a guy who I've gotten a lot of questions about. Let's do like a flex start here. Lamb or DeAndre Swift?
I might still start Lamb there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, one of the things, I'm going to look at your rankings right now. So what we all do is on our Twitter profiles, again, I'm at Dan Harris Haiti, Yates is at Kyle Y NFL, is we post our rankings. We do a rankings article. We have a widget. So every time we update our rankings, it will automatically update in that article. You can see position by position. I don't think that has flex. So what we've done is we've included something of a who should I start. That's one of the tools that we offer at Fantasy Pros, and we're doing it specifically to our rankings. If you go in there, and I'm in there right now, and I click flex, and I put in on one side for half PPR format, CeeDee Lamb, and then on the other one, I put in DeAndre Swift. And Yates, you are not a liar. You have Lamb at 40th and Swift at 49th in half PPR format. Way to say something that's backed up by your rankings. I love it. But so we have that in, you know, who should I start tool in each of our tags, and me and Yates, we all have that. So we can't get to every question that we get on Twitter, but you can legitimately do whatever. Just look at our rankings. It'll tell you exactly who to start. How about Dalton Schultz here, Yates? Are you off him now? Because he was kind of creeping into maybe tight end one territory.
Yeah, I'm a little bit off this week. I've got him down at 16. So he's still someone that you can plug into your lineup if you absolutely need someone. But as of right now, I'm not looking to start him if I can.
Yeah, exactly the same way. I also have him at 16th. And again, 16th at tight end might be somebody that you have to start, because a lot of people are rostering two tight ends and streaming them at this point, because once you get past the top 6 or 7, you are just, you know, shooting in the dark. So that's fine. But I do him at 16th. And of course, you're starting Zeke, even if you're a little less confident about him than you were previously. How about the Washington football team? Usual deal here. This is a really good matchup for Terry McLaurin. So where is he ranked for you this week?
Yeah, he's in that same range. Probably, I think, back to back with Amari Cooper. I'm pulling it up right now. Back to back. I have Cooper at 16, McLaurin at 17.
Okay, I'm a little more excited about McLaurin. I think this is a game for him. I have him at 11th right now. I think this is just a matchup that they can exploit. I think Kyle Allen's going to have a pretty good game here. You're not starting him, of course, but I do think that that's where we're going to see. This is finally going to be the big game for McLaurin. How about Gibson? You know, fantasy managers are frustrated because of all the work that McKissick is getting. So how do you feel about Gibson? And for that matter, how about McKissick?
Yeah, so I'm still fine with rolling out Antonio Gibson, especially in this matchup. And again, based on the running back landscape right now, you have to plug him into your lineup. So I've got Gibson at 17 this week. And then
yeah, me too.
But that could move a little bit here. And then I have McKissick at 30. So both of them can be started.
Yeah, we view this one almost identically. I also have Gibson right now at 17. I don't know for sure that that's where he'll end up, but we're in the same range. And McKissick for me also at 31. He's a guy you can use as a flex play. He gets enough work in the passing game that he's usable, but he's not someone who I'm running out to start. It's always somebody where I'm like, man, I don't want to start JD McKissick. But if you have to this week, you can certainly get away with it. All right, before we go to our next game, Yates, there are a lot of times in my life where I have this very kind of vague, I don't really feel so great. Like nothing crazy. I'm just like, I'm tired. I have a headache. Things are a little foggy. I'm always convinced I've got some new secret sickness they're going to name like after me. And my wife always in her very, very lovingly yet completely patronizing way goes, have you had enough water today? And my answer is always no, because I'm a giant and I do not have the time to sit there and drink the billions of ounces of water that are recommended to keep a giant hydrated. But then she turned me on to Hydrate. And I'm not going to lie, I feel pretty good, Yates, and it's great. Hydrate's an electrolyte powder that you can mix into your water. It keeps you hydrated both for a longer amount of time and quickly. Like you drink it, you just generally feel, you know, like you've been drinking water for a while. It's developed by Oxford scientists. So it contains four essential electrolytes that your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. It's made with real fruit juice powder, by the way, in a variety of flavors, the new keto-friendly lemonade and pink grapefruit with no added sugar, only 2 grams of carbs. Lemonade is the one that I usually go to. You can go with pink grapefruit. I personally prefer the lemonade every morning, mix it into my water, get it going, and I'm ready to go. They've also got this great new immunity line available in either lemon ginger or hot apple cider, over 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, B6, B12 and D, a ton of essential vitamins, minerals, and electrolytes with ginger and zinc, total immune support. Now is the time. It is fall. It is moving into winter. It's getting a little colder. This is the time to help support your immune system. Backed, by the way, by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, send it back for a full refund. And it starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply. You can save even more with a monthly subscription. Right now, our listeners can save 25% off their first order. Just go to drinkhydrant.com/fantasypros, enter promo code fantasypros at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/fantasypros. Enter code fantasypros for 25% off your first order. Again, drinkhydrant.com/fantasypros. Enter code fantasypros to save 25%. We thank them for sponsoring our podcast, Hydrant, where water meets wellness. All right, yeah, so let's move on here and let's go to the most exciting game of the week, Bills versus Jets. Running game here for the Bills. Two really underwhelming performances by Devin Singletary in a row. Zach Moss came back last week. He did get some carries inside the 10. Where do you have both these guys ranked this week?
It's not great. I've got Devin Singletary at 31 and I've got Zach Moss at 36. So I'm avoiding them if I can.
I'm a little more bullish on Singletary and a little less bullish on Moss. Singletary, though, is somebody who I'm going to say what my ranking is for him. It's not a final ranking. Again, Saturday night, I do my sweep. Right now, I am as 22. And really, part of the reason is that I do think that although the quote-unquote strength of the Jets defense is their rush defense, I do think that the Bills are just... This is just going to be a smash spot for the Bills that you want to be a smash spot. The Jets are abysmal. They have completely mailed it in, like, regardless of, you know, what they're doing. They give up a ton of touchdowns to running backs. That could be good for Moss, but I do think that this is an opportunity for the Bills to try to get Devin Singletary going against an opponent that they're going to absolutely destroy, and somebody who I think that this is really what you do when you have a running back who's struggling. So I do think they're going to get Singletary going. But the fact that right now he is 22nd in my rankings should tell you all you need to know about running backs this week. It's not good. I do think that Stephon Diggs is going to also absolutely destroy the Jets. John Brown is looking iffy, by the way, for this game. Again, he didn't practice. He didn't get a target last week, or he didn't have a catch last week. So, you know, he might still be battling injuries. So out of curiosity, what's the number on Diggs in your ranking?
I have him at 7.
Yeah, I'm 4th.
8.
I just wonder.
Sorry, 8.
4th. Yeah, I'm 4th. So this is really where we're going. I really think. And Allen is still a top 5 option for me. You too?
Yes. Yep.
Yes. It's just start your Bills. Start whoever plays against the Jets. Just do it.
Yeah, I have Allen at 3.
Very nice. I'm at 4, I believe. Well done. Okay, for the Jets, James Crowder missed practice yesterday. If Jameson Crowder does not start, I just run. It does sound like Sam Darnold might be back here. If Jameson Crowder plays, you're starting him, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. How about, are either Gore or Pirine a desperation flex for you in half PPR leagues?
No, the big appeal, well, not big appeal. The reason why we were talking about Frank Gore as a desperation bye week fill-in last week was because that he was going to receive work. Like, he was going to receive the majority of the carries. Well, that didn't even happen last week because you saw Gore get 11 carries and Pirine get 7 off the top of my head. So, like, Pirine's starting to become involved, but yet it's neither of them in this offense with the amount of work that they're receiving now. They just cancel each other out, you know? So I think, yeah, just run away from this offense if you can.
Which is just our advice each and every week. Let's go to the Steelers-Titans because we teased Juju Smith-Schuster. It looks like we're going to have all three big wide receivers here for the Steelers back. So why don't you just give me your ranking on each one of them?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how this plays out now with Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, and Juju on the field all at the same time. I have Deontay Johnson at 20, so I'm very optimistic on him. I think he gets plugged right back in, gets the majority of the targets. I have Claypool at 34, and I have Juju Smith-Schuster at 35.
Okay. Yeah, we're not that far off. And I'm going to say that this situation, other than Juju, who is at 34 in my ranking, so we're right there, is pretty locked in. The other two guys, I'm gonna move around right now. Right now, I have Claypool ahead of Deontay Johnson, but I do want, I mean, last week we kind of felt optimistic on Deontay Johnson coming back, and then, oh, he just wasn't playing.
Sure.
So I do want to wait and see it a little bit. But this one is one where when I update it on Saturday night, I'm not sure whether Johnson will be ahead of Claypool because I'm a little Claypool obsessed at this point, but they're going to be pretty close and they're going to both be startable options. And again, Smith-Schuster for me at 34, I think you said 35, Yates, that's a wide receiver 3. So it's still somebody who, if you roster him, you're probably starting him, but we're certainly not all that optimistic. James Conner, meanwhile, a top 10 option for you?
Yeah. Yep.
Are you streaming Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, absolutely. I have been at QB 8. Yeah. QB
nice. 8. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm at 12, but again, when you're in that range, that's just very much of a, you know, it's not a huge difference between any of them. How about Eric Ebron? Are you willing to start him or does he fall outside that stream?
He does fall outside that streaming category for me, but I mean, he's right on the edge there. So, I mean, if I was forced to look at someone like Robert Tonyan or Ebron, I might go Ebron there, actually.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, no, I have Tonyan higher than Ebron, but I do have Ebron 14th on the week. So he is somebody who you can certainly start if you're in a pinch, but he does fall outside my top 12. On the Titans, of course, Derrick Henry. Of course, AJ Brown, if he plays again, he missed practice on Thursday. Not sure if that was a maintenance day, but assuming he plays, of course, you start him. Jonnu Smith looks good to go here. Yeah, it's practiced in full, at least on Thursday. So yep. He's a must-start option. Of course, I'm not going to make you talk about him. How about Ryan Tannehill here? Is he, you know, it's a Pittsburgh. The Titans are dealing with injuries to their offensive line. Taylor Lewan, the Steelers blitz a ton. Are you starting Ryan Tannehill in this match?
I think you have to. I mean, we joke about it all the time, saying that they just break all efficiency metrics, that they just defy all logic. But so continue to ride the hot hand. Continue to plug in Ryan Tannehill, especially now that he has Jonnu, AJ Brown, and Derrick Henry all on the field at the same time. Plug him into your lineup.
Roethlisberger or Tannehill?
I'll go Roethlisberger there.
Yeah, I have Roethlisberger one spot ahead, but you can certainly start either one or both if you're in a super flex or two quarterback league. Panthers against the Saints. Please give me your rankings of Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore.
Sure. Let me switch over to my wide receiver rankings.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I make you switch back and forth.
I know. I'm like flying. I have Robbie Anderson at 14.
Yep.
And I have DJ Moore at 27.
Ooh, all right. We're right there. So I have Robbie Anderson at 14 and DJ Moore at 24. I will use this as an excuse to give you kudos because you and I, one of the situations that we disagreed on a lot coming into the year was the Curtis Samuel versus Robbie Anderson. You were very high on Robbie Anderson. He looks great. He is a must-start option each and every week. Any fear for Mike Davis in what's a pretty tough matchup against New Orleans?
I mean, I've had fear on Mike Davis the past like 3 weeks, and he's proven me wrong every single time. So no, get him in your starting lineup as a top tier option.
100% agree. There is no fear with Mike Davis. He's just so involved in the passing game that his floor is just so unbelievably high. For the Saints, we do not know at this point, again, Friday morning, what Michael Thomas's status is. Apparently now dealing with the hamstring injury. If he plays, even though he's been battling a hamstring injury, you're starting Michael Thomas, right?
Yeah, I think you have to. But at this point, I'd be very concerned. I would start making plans to, you know, not have Michael Thomas in your starting lineup.
Yeah, I don't expect him to play in this game. Again, you may know by the time you listen to this, I do not expect him to play here. Can you start another Saints wide receiver if Michael Thomas does play?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders would probably be the option, but as nothing more than a low-end flex play.
Yeah, I agree with you that essentially the answer is no. I mean, it's Sanders would be a desperation flex, but I think I'll probably have him ranked even just slightly outside of that. What if Thomas does not play? Are you starting Sanders?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can absolutely plug him in. The Panthers have been shockingly good against opposing wide receivers, but I think that this is if Michael Thomas doesn't play, then Sanders is going to see targets. He's going to see opportunity here. He would become a low-end wide receiver 3 in my rankings, I believe, and then Tre'Quan Smith would become a flex play, but you're just hoping that he finds the end zone.
Yeah, that's basically how I feel about it as well. How about Jared Cook here? We were joking on Wednesday how you're like, oh, I don't see him getting the targets or the receptions, but I have him projected for a touchdown.
Exactly.
So he makes the top tier. Are you there?
That's where he falls at. That's why he falls at 13 in my tight end rankings, because I joked about it. You know, I have him projected for only 3 targets, 2 receptions, 23 yards, but he gets the touchdown. And that's, I think, he's a touchdown dependent tight end too. So you roll him into your lineup, but he has as good of a chance to score a touchdown as any other tight end in the NFL.
Yeah, if I roster Jared Cook, I'm probably starting him this week just because that's kind of how it works with tight end. How about Breeze? Are you streaming him or fall outside that range?
He falls just outside of it, but I do think that he's someone that you can plug in. If you have Drew Breeze on your roster and you don't have another quarterback, I wouldn't drop him to go pick up another option unless someone like a Ryan Tannehill, Ben Roethlisberger was there on your waiver wire. Otherwise, I'm just staying put with Drew Breeze and I'll plug him into my lineup.
All right, before we keep going, guys, let's talk about FanDuel. If your season-long team is struggling, if your season-long team is not struggling, it doesn't matter. Get on FanDuel. Get some new teams each and every week if you want. You know by now classic DFS on FanDuel, right? You pick your team. You stay under the salary cap. That's great. But now FanDuel is offering best ball contests. No lineups to set. No waivers to claim. No trades to make. Just draft 20 players in a traditional snake draft, and each week you're automatically going to get points for your top 9 performers at set positions. At the end of the season, the teams with the top scores are going to take home the cash. 12 players maximum in any contest, by the way. Do not worry if you're just starting out. And when you typically think of best ball, right, you think of the start of the season, but the party at FanDuel doesn't stop at the beginning of the season. They're offering partial best ball contests. Enter a contest by November 5th to play from weeks 9 through 16. You can enter a free contest or play for as little as a dollar. And if you're a new user, you can get a 20% bonus on your first deposit up to $500 when you sign up with the code FANTASYPROS. Just download the FanDuel Fantasy app. Use our code FANTASYPROS. Browns versus Bengals. Let's start. I'll just give you some true false questions about these guys, starting at running back. True or false, Kareem Hunt is a top 5 back this week.
True.
True or false, Odell Beckham Jr. is a wide receiver 2.
True.
True or false, don't start Jarvis Landry this week.
Don't start. That was confusingly phrased.
True or false, start Jarvis Landry. What do you want? I am not starting Jarvis Landry this week. Do you agree with me or not?
No, he would be someone, if he was fully healthy, that I would be looking at as a wide receiver 3 flex play, but with playing through apparently cracked ribs, I'm just going to stay away if I can.
And I will say, when I say don't start, he's still ranked in like the flex category.
Correct.
Like he's ranked 40.
But he's not must. He's not like a must play.
He's not a wide receiver 3 at this point. He's outside there. You could start him, but given the injury, I would try to avoid it if I could. Did Austin Hooper wind up making it into your top 12 this week?
Oh, yeah. I had him at 8 earlier on in the week. I have him at 7 right now.
Okay, very good. I have Hooper at 8, so I'm sticking with the 8. But yeah, he is a top 12 option at this point. Great to see him getting the targets. Surprising, given how the season started, but certainly get him into your lineup. For the Bengals, it's Friday morning. We have zero information.
What the heck is going on?
I'm so mad about it because I'm just like, no, you said Monday or Tuesday, and now it's just like he's just not practicing. We won't give you any information. You will know about this. If Joe Mixon starts, you are starting Joe Mixon as you do each and every week. If Joe Mixon does not start, how high do you think Gio Bernard is going to rank in your ranking?
He would probably be a mid-range running back 2. I think that he's going to get the touches, of course, but yet I just don't. at this point of his career, I think that he's someone who would average around like 3.7, 3.8 yards per carry, not doing anything crazy. He'll get the workload out of the backfield as a receiver, but not necessarily going to rank him as a top 10 running back or anything like that.
No, I agree with that. I do think that what's great about him is that, you know, first of all, we've seen him do well, especially in half PPR and full PPR formats when Mixon has been out of lineup in the past. But I think the good thing is that his receiving ability is going to give him a high enough floor to make him an RB2. So I would fire him up with no hesitation. But again, not where Mixon would rank if Mixon does play in this game. Who would you prefer to start in this game if you had to start only one, Tyler Boyd or T. Higgins?
I'm going to go Tyler Boyd here. If Taviar Thomas is still lining up against Tyler Boyd, he torched him in week two, going for 7 for 79 and a touchdown off the top of my head. So Tyler Boyd, I really like this week. My projections and rankings keep bumping him down when I, you know, input them, but then I tweak them and I'm just consistently going, all right, I got to keep rising up Tyler Boyd. So I have him as a mid-range wide receiver two this week.
How about Higgins?
Higgins, I have as a high-end wide receiver three.
Okay. So I have Boyd 25th and Higgins 26th. So I like them both this week, but obviously probably a little higher on Higgins slightly and a little lower on Boyd. But both are definite starts for you. Are you willing to roll with AJ Green after we saw signs of life last week?
Willing? No. Desperation play? Yes.
Yeah. I'm 47th right now. My guess is he'll end up a couple of spots higher when I'm finished, you know, when all the inactives are out and everything like that. But I agree. Somebody who you could start as a desperation flex play, but I'm not looking
to. Would you play?
So.
I just want to get, because this is something that I've struggled with. Would you play AJ Green or Laviska Shenault?
I have Shenault right now 8 spots higher.
Okay.
So I would go with Shenault in that. Yeah, I mean, Green is somebody who I wouldn't be surprised if this is a good game for Green, but I need to see it again coming forward. So Green is a guy who I'm like right now specifically fading this week because I don't want to start him. And that's kind of, again, you and I both do projections and we base our rankings largely off the projections. But as you just said with Boyd, we'll manipulate our rankings based on kind of how we feel a matchup is going to go. And Green is a guy who I've kind of manipulated down a little bit because if I wouldn't start him myself, I don't want to recommend to fantasy managers to start him, you know?
Yeah, I mean projections provide the most likely scenario, and then rankings take into account probabilities. So, yeah, we have to manipulate the information. But, yeah, AJ Green's at 48 for me. So, I mean, he's someone that you can start if you absolutely need to, but I want to see it for one, maybe even two more weeks before I say, all right, go plug him into your lineup moving forward.
And so we'll get to that game in a second, but then do you have Shenault then right there at like 46, 47?
I have Shenault in that range. I have him just a little bit higher. I just moved him up to 40 and then Green at 48.
Yeah, I have it 39 and 47. So we're basically viewing that the same. Are you willing to roll out Joe Burrow in this matchup as a streamer?
He is like literally at the tail end of that streaming consideration for me. He's at like 16 or 15 in my QB rankings. So I would prefer not to. But at the same time, like, again, it's kind of the same situation with Drew Brees. If I have Burrow on my roster, I'm not going to go drop him unless there's a clear answer above him. I'm just going to hold on to Burrow and I'll plug him into my lineup.
Lions versus Falcons. There is a correct answer to this question. Are you ready to trust DeAndre Swift?
It depends on what you mean by trust. Like, am I ready to trust him as a locked in RB2 where he's being ranked in ECR? No. Am I willing to trust him as a fine high-end running back 3 flex play? Yes.
The answer I was looking for was no, but I'm going to anyway. Basically is where I'm at. I'm at 23rd. Where do you have him?
That's exactly where I have him.
It's somebody where you're like, no, I'm not ready to trust DeAndre Swift. I don't feel confident in what we're going to get out of him, but am I ranking him as an RB2? Yeah, I am at ranking him as an RB2 because I think it's just impossible to get away from the fact that they did look to get him more involved last week coming off their bye, as we talked about, and he does have a pretty high floor given his involvement in the passing game. So he is somebody who I am rolling out as a very low-end RB2, and I feel kind of disgusting about it. How about Adrian Peterson? At this point, I mean, is he just totally off your radar or is he a flex play for you?
No, I've got him at 34 in my running back rankings. So he can be someone that you can plug in. This is why DeAndre Swift is very high in my rankings, is because this is a very high over under. I expect points to go up on the board in this one, which is why I really like Matt Ryan. I really like Kenny Galladay. Like, I like the options in here. And if you're going to take a dart throw on any player, like take a shot with one of these guys in this game. So Adrian Peterson, if he finds the end zone, he'll be fine. He'll return that value, but otherwise he's going to fall outside of it.
Yep, I got him 32. He'll probably wind up 33, I think, once I finish tidying up. But yeah, that's how I feel about it. We love Kenny Galladay here. How high is TJ Hockenson in your tight end rankings?
He's at 4 for me.
Ditto. And Matt Stafford, ready to roll with him as a QB1 here, right?
I have Stafford at 13. So I would play Stafford above Brees and Burrow, who are at 14 and 15 in my rankings.
Okay. I'm a little higher on Stafford, even though I don't love him on the season-long outlook. I have him at 9 right now. Again, the difference between 9 and 12 is so infinitesimal. Like, it's just, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you know, it's so small.
With Stafford, we haven't, I mean, there have been several matchups where we've said, like, hey, this looks like a smash spot for Stafford. He has yet to finish as a top 12 QB on the season, or in any given week. So I just think I'm going to hedge here a little bit. I like some of these other guys. Like, I would absolutely start Matt Ryan over Matthew Stafford this week.
I also have Matt Ryan ahead of Matthew Stafford, but I do have Matt Ryan 7th this week. That's so where that's I have him more too. About. Yeah. Yeah. And again, let's talk about the Falcons very quickly. I mean, this is just everybody's an obvious start. You're starting Matt Ryan. You're starting Julio Jones. You're starting Calvin Ridley, of course. And you're very easily starting Todd Gurley as an RB2, right?
Yeah. Low-end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, is he low-end for you?
Well,
because I'm a little higher than that.
That might be my perception. Hold on. Let me pull up my running back ranking. Oh, well, no, he's at 11. Good. Never mind. Nope. Yes. Yep. You start Todd Gurley.
Okay. No. I love that you said that, Yates, because when I was preparing my notes for this, I was like, all right, Todd Gurley is going to be an RB2. Like, I'm sure that's where I did. And then I went back and I checked my projections and I checked my rankings. I was like, oh, he's 12. Yep. Oh, he's 12th this week. So that's good. Very good. I expected you to have more like, oh, yeah, the 14th, 15th RB2. Yeah, Gurley is basically an RB1 this week. Again, it's a great matchup. This is sort of his stretch. Enjoy the stretch for Todd Gurley and then try to sell him after a couple of games. What about Hayden Hurst? You willing to roll with him?
Yeah, I've got Hayden Hurst. I had him at 11 earlier on in the week. I have Hayden Hurst now at 11. I think that people are going to have questions about Russell Gage. And I think that you can roll him into your lineup as a flex play this week. Against the Detroit slot corners, they have been just like, they've been bleeding fantasy points. So I think that you can plug in Russell Gage if you absolutely need an option.
Very good. Packers versus Texans. Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers. They're all, of course, must starts, right?
Yeah, completely.
Are you starting anyone else? The only one would be Tonyan. Are you starting him?
Again, I talked about Tonyan a little bit. And again, for people who haven't heard the news and are sitting there going like, why are you mispronouncing this dude's name? It came out that he corrected the pronunciation of his name and it is now Tonyan rather than Tonyan. So anyway.
I'm also, by the way, Dane. So start calling me Dane. Okay, go ahead. Yep.
Tonyan is like, he's at tight end 14, tight end 15 in my rankings. I think you can plug him into your lineup, but in this matchup, I expect, again, points to go up on the board. So I think that if you are looking for an option who could find the end zone, he has a good chance of finding it.
All right. For the Texans, this just feels like start everybody in this on both sides in this game. Deshaun Watson, top 5?
No, I'm not that aggressive on Deshaun Watson. I have him a little bit further down. I have him at 10, actually. So I would start Roethlisberger over Deshaun Watson. But again, like the difference there is very, very small.
Yeah, I've got Watson 5th, so I do think now that we are past this horrific part of his schedule, you know, with them being home, I think they look better under Romeo Crennel. They're opening it up a little bit. I'm a little more excited about Watson. I would start him over those guys. How about David Johnson? You're fine here with the usual gross, but I'll start him as an RB2.
Yep, completely.
Starting both Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got Will Fuller. Again, I've talked about it. I'm done doubting him. I've got him at 15.
Good.
So I've got Will Fuller at 15, and then I have Brandon Cooks at 28, and I still feel like that might be too low on Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I'm at 33 on Cooks, and I'm like, no, I got to find a way to move him up at this point, just so he can really, really disappoint me. you're starting Akins if he plays?
No, not really.
Are you starting Fells if Akins doesn't play, or you're just out in the
tight
end? I
think you could start Darren Fells. I think if...
Okay.
If both of them are active, then I think that's a situation that you just say, yeah, I'll stay away from. If one of them sits, then I think you could get away with Fells. He's probably back-to-back in my rankings with Tonyan.
Okay, that's fair. Let's go to the Bucks versus Raiders. Some positive news that are legitimately coming across the wire. No more positive tests. Sounds like the game is good to go on Sunday. And again, that game has been moved out of Sunday Night Football just as out of an abundance of caution. You have been down on Mike Evans. We have talked about it privately. We have talked about it on the podcast. You've been down on him, but how do you feel about him in this matchup? Where does he rank?
I talked about him on the start sit that I had him at 32.
Yes.
I moved
and
him
now you
up
would be probably moving him up
to 29. Okay. I can't move him up further than that. From our process as projection people, then looking at it and the target share, projecting the overall total pass attempts for the Buccaneers here, the target share just isn't there for Mike Evans when Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski are on the field. You look at Brady historically, he's always favored the middle of the field. That's why we were talking about Edelman for the longest time as just this consistent option because he would get peppered with targets. Gronk, when he was, you know, active and healthy, that was a smash play because it was over the middle of the field. So I just don't think that he needs to look over at Mike Evans on the boundary. Now, he could get the end zone target, you know, as they get to the goal line. He can get that goal line fade. He can, you know, be targeted there. But I think he's a touchdown dependent tight end a touchdown dependent wide receiver two, high end wide receiver three.
I was like, you really dropped him down if you're putting him as a tight end. How about Chris Godwin then? Are you more optimistic on him?
Yeah, I'm in on Godwin. I've got Godwin as a top 12 option.
Okay. All right. And all systems go here on Ronald Jones, right?
Oh, yeah. Smash spot for Ronald Jones.
Yeah. The Raiders cannot stop the run or the pass.
It does look like Leonard Fournette is going to play in this game. So that may limit Ronald Jones's ceiling, which is why I think I have him ranked at like 14 right now. If Fournette was inactive, I think he would be a top 10 option for me.
Yeah, I need to really do some more digging on how I view this because my early rankings are expecting Fournette to play, though not have a huge role in this one, is Ronald Jones at 11 and Fournette at 48. My guess is the delta between those two will close a bit, assuming that Fournette is a full go here. But for right now, I have no problems at all with Ronald Jones. How about Brady? Are you willing to stream him?
He's in that same consideration as the guys that I talked about earlier of Breeze. And
it just feels like there are like, going down to like past where Wentz was even this week, I had Wentz 16th, that there are just guys you can stream all day this week. This is like a good week. I feel like if you are struggling at quarterback, there's like 17 guys. So I'm like, oh, absolutely. I can roll out there.
Yeah, completely. So I've got in my rankings, I've got Brady at 12 and then Stafford at 13, Breeze at 14, Burrow at 15, Minshew at 16 and Garoppolo at 17. I think you could roll out any of those guys to prove your point.
How about Gronk? Are we good with Gronk now? Yep. He looks better.
Right. I have Gronk at tight end 5 on the week.
Wow. All right. That is high. That is high. Are you Gronk or Hunter Henry?
I'll go Gronk.
Ooh. Okay. Gronk or Janu?
Right now, I have Gronk.
I broke Yates' brain with that question.
Right now, it was like, I have Gronk at 5 and Janu at 6. That will...
Okay, expect Gronk to be outside the top 5 when Yates finishes his rankings because there's no way he's going in there ahead of Jonu. I have Gronk 11th, so not quite as there. I could see him getting up to 10th, but I do think that he is a startable option this week. But yeah, that's aggressive, but I love it. For the Raiders, we do not know what the deal is with this offensive line. At the very least, Brown is going to be out, assuming that the rest of the offensive line does play because there are no more positive tests. That at least is better for Josh Jacobs, but it's still a tough matchup. Where does Jacobs rank for you in this one?
Yeah, I haven't taken into account the fact that the offensive line might not play.
Right. I'm assuming, by the way, at this point, that the offensive line other than Brown is
going to play. Yeah, that's where I'm going with. So I've got him at 12. Okay. I think he's just going to see too much volume to finish outside of that, but... it's not a matchup that I'm saying there, like sitting there going, oh, yeah, I'm super excited to plug in Josh Jacobs. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense just suffocates opposing running backs for fantasy purposes. So not super excited about him. He needs to find the end zone.
Yeah, I'm not. I really would like to see another game here without Vita Vea just to see if I can really feel confident that the run defense is really going to be quite as strong as it looked last week without him. But I'm 13th. I agree. It's probably the lowest I've had Jacobs all season long. So. That's still a very clear start, right. But it is somebody who, again, temper your expectations. You're, of course, starting Darren Waller. Are you starting anybody else on the Raiders?
Ruggs is a flex play at best. You're just hoping that he breaks away a long play. I think with Carlton Davis most likely going to shadow him and shut him down, it's not a matchup that I'm sitting there going, yeah, I'm excited to start Henry Ruggs. So he's in that he's outside my top 40 wide receivers, but it's taking into account, again, the probability that he breaks away a huge play.
Yeah, 46 for me. 49ers versus Patriots. We talked about them on Wednesday, but talk about how you feel about the San Francisco running backs.
Yeah, I think this is a situation that I'm looking to avoid if I can. But again, with the running backs looking the way that they are across the fantasy landscape right now, you need to be plugging in Jerick McKinnon as a low-end running back too. I think that he is going to receive the majority of the work as far as the carries, but then also as the receiver out of the backfield. I think Jeff Wilson will be active. He's had limited practices here this week. I do expect him to suit up, but that could obviously change, so stay tuned. Again, we do a Sunday morning live stream where we'll have more information on that. But then Jamichael Hasty has been a popular name to discuss this week. So I'm not necessarily sitting here going like I'm super excited to plug in Jamichael Hasty. The probability that he receives the majority of the carries and actually performs pretty well here against New England is very, very minimal. I'm just not excited about it. So as far as like my projections and how I broke down this running back room, I have Jerick McKinnon with 10 rush attempts, 4 targets, Jeff Wilson with 8 rush attempts, 2 targets, and then Jamichael Hasty with 6 rush attempts.
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy as a breakdown. We talked about how I mentioned it on Wednesday that I think I had him 18th on Wednesday, and I said that he'll almost certainly move down. McKinnon, we're talking about here. He'll almost certainly move down. He has moved down. He's 21, though, for me. So he still is somebody who I'm willing to start. This is one, again, check the rankings as we head into Sunday for sure, because we need more information as much as possible. Need to know whether or not Wilson is playing. Need to just read the tea leaves as to how this is going to break down. But again, I do think essentially that McKinnon is going to be a guy, as you said, who you can start in half PPR or full PPR formats as a low-end RB2, and that you're probably not going to want to start any of the other guys, but we'll have to really see. So for now, McKinnon is 21st in my ranking, Hasty, and I'm not sure if Wilson's going to play, but Hasty is outside sort of the range of guys who I want to start. You're starting George Kittle. What about Deebo Samuel?
I have Deebo as a flex play this week. I think he's seen enough targets. It's a tough matchup, but they're pretty creative with the way they get the ball in his hands. So you're just hoping that he scores to be able to return that flex value and finish even higher than that. But I still think you can start him.
How about Brandon Ayuk?
I'm not looking his way. I think that we talked about it earlier on in the week. I think it was the waiver wire saying that if you need to drop Brandon Ayuk, you can.
All right, you're starting Cam here, as we discussed. Are you starting anyone else on the Patriots?
So I think Julian Edelman is like a flex play at best. I think you can still plug him into your lineup, but it's a wide range of outcomes for him. James White would be the guy that I'd be saying, yeah, get him into your lineup. I actually, right now, I haven't accounted for the fact that he missed practice with an undisclosed issue. So that's just a situation to monitor. I haven't taken that into account, and he's at 25 in my running back rankings this week. So he's just seeing, again, in half PPR, he's just seeing too many targets out of the backfield to ignore. Otherwise, Damian Harris, sit him. Rex Burkhead, sit him.
Yeah, I have White right now at 28. I do have Harris as 36 because I do think they're going to lean into the run. But again, I'm not Jones in the stardom. 36 in running back rankings is really a guy who's only kind of a desperation flex. Chiefs versus Broncos, usual deal here with the Chiefs. You're starting Mahomes, you're starting Hill, you're starting Kelsey. Assuming that Le'Veon Bell does play in this one, how do you rank the running backs?
Yeah, I've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Again, right now I'm projecting that Bell does play. There is a question as to whether or not he suits up in this one, so or will be active. So this could significantly bump up Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I've got him at 18 right now. I have Le'Veon Bell at 32. So I do expect Bell to be utilized as the goal line back. We saw Darrell Williams come into that role last week. So I think Bell takes over the majority of Darrell Williams' touches if he does play and then gets that opportunity at the goal line. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be the main back. As far as the wide receivers, you mentioned Tyreek Hill. Plug him into your lineup, obviously, as a wide receiver one every single week. But then DeMarcus Robinson actually becomes an intriguing play. I've got him at 43rd in my wide receiver rankings. So I think you can plug him in as a flex play. And moving forward, too, I mean, I looked at this yesterday. DeMarcus Robinson is only 2% rostered in Yahoo leagues. So, I mean, this week and then next week, too, the matchup here for DeMarcus Robinson is phenomenal.
Yeah. And you look at the snap count and Robinson, you know, without Watkins, Robinson is getting the snaps and Hardman isn't. And everybody loves, right, Mecole Hardman, but just not happening. Just briefly on Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell. We're in the same range. I'm a little more bullish on Edwards-Helaire and a little less on Bell, assuming they both play. I have Edwards-Helaire at 14th and Bell at 37th. That's really not crazy when you think about probably our projections are right in line with each other. But that's just how I'm viewing it. I think at least for the first game, they're going to ease Bell in, even if he does play. For the Broncos, I guess Melvin Gordon's just going to play here. And assuming he does, start or sit a Broncos running back? And where do you have him ranked?
I think you should sit both of them if you can. Melvin Gordon at 29 for me and Phillip Lindsay at 33.
Okay. So it's funny because we have the same basically delta between the two, but I'm just slightly higher on both of them with Gordon at 26 and Lindsay at 29. I think you can get away with both of them as a flex play because I do think that the Broncos, who kind of get up for this game, they're going to be home. They're going to try to control the clock and do what they can to run the ball as much as possible. And you can attack the Chiefs that way a little bit more than through the passing game. If Noah Fant plays, do you start him?
Yeah. Yeah. Based on the tight end position right now, I have Noah Fant at tight end 10 on the week.
Yeah, I'm ninth. Are you starting any Broncos receiver?
I have both of them back-to-back in my rankings in like the 40s. So I'm not particularly excited. I think you can start either of them as a flex option. But this is a very, very tough matchup. I'm not expecting big things from Drew Locke. So I'd be looking to avoid him if I can.
Yeah, I have them two spots apart. So you're crazy with that. Also my 40. So we're right on the money there. Again, you can start him, but not looking to do it if I can avoid it. Jaguars against the Chargers. You loved Keelan Cole on Wednesday. Where did he wind up in your rankings right
now?
Yeah,
he's still pretty high. I've got Keelan Cole at wide receiver 32. So I moved him down just a little bit, but I still in that range because of the matchup. If this was a better matchup, then I'd be saying absolutely start him as a wide receiver too. I think that he's still seeing too many targets to ignore, but the matchup bumps him down just a little bit. I still think you can start him as a solid wide receiver 3.
Do you start Cole or Chark if you roster them both?
Chark. I have Chark at 19.
Okay. Okay. All right. So you're fine with him. And we mentioned Chenault a little bit, sort of a more of a flex play outside of your wide receiver 3
yeah,
range,
correct.
Right? Okay. And Robinson, you're good as an RB1?
I have been or a RB low-end running back 1. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, so do I. And is Minshew in the streaming, one of the streaming category guys?
Yeah, I talked about him there at 16 in my rankings. I think I would prefer to play a bunch of these other guys above him. But if you, again, it's kind of the same thing. If you have any of these options and you have Minshew, but you don't have a clear, you know, better option, then just stick with Minshew on your roster, plug him into your lineup. But otherwise, I would be playing guys like Tannehill, Brady, Stafford, Breeze, Burrow over him.
And on Wednesday, I believe you had Justin Herbert 10th in your quarterback rankings. Did he stay there?
No, he didn't stay there. He actually moved up. I have him at 9.
Yep. Yep. I'm at 8. So this is just where we are right now. Justin Herbert, go out there and start him for sure. How about the running backs? How do you see this breaking down? And are you willing to start either or both?
Yeah, we talked about Justin Jackson as a start. I brought him up as a start on the Start Sit show this week. I've got Justin Jackson at 15 on the week, Dan. I really, really like him in this matchup. And then I do think that you can get away with starting Joshua Kelly, too. I have him at running back 27 on the week. So this guy who I expect to be the goal line back, and I expect Los Angeles to be in plenty of these scoring opportunities. So we could see, and I'm projecting it. We see Justin Jackson out-touch Joshua Kelly, but yet it's still enough work there for Kelly to be relevant.
Yeah, I also have Kelly exactly at 27, so I do think he's a guy who you can start as a flex play. I'm not quite as high on Justin Jackson, but I have him 20th, so I have him as an RB2 at this point. I believe we're both higher than consensus as well, so it's a good matchup against Jacksonville. I feel like you can start either one of them and be okay. How about the wide receivers here? We haven't heard necessarily. I know Keenan Allen has been limited, but assuming Keenan Allen plays, I'm just going to assume that you're starting him without hesitation. And if he does play, how do you feel about Mike Williams versus if Keenan Allen does not play, how do you feel
about Mike Williams? I've got Keenan Allen right now projected to play, but not necessarily at full strength. So I've got him at 18 in my rankings. I still think that he soaks up targets. And then I've got Mike Williams at 37 right now with Keenan Allen playing. If Keenan Allen does sit for some reason, then I think you can move Mike Williams up into like that wide receiver 30 range. I actually probably would play Mike Williams over Mike Evans.
Yeah, I would not play Mike Williams over Mike Evans, even if Keenan Allen is out. But I do agree with everything else that you said. I have Allen ranked 13th right now. I'm not expecting him to necessarily be limited. I have Williams 38th, so right on par with you. And I would move him up to that wide receiver 30 range. But I would start Evans over him because I'm not quite as down on Evans. And again, we talked about Hunter Henry. You said 6th, 7th.
No, he was a little bit further down, but he's still a start for me. I have Hunter Henry at 8. So, yeah, I still start him.
That's fine. I'm 5th, but again, not a huge difference between those guys. Sunday night game, Seahawks against Cardinals. Just start all your Seahawks as usual, right? Wilson, Metcalf, Lockett, Carson. I don't really know if there's much to discuss, right? You're just firing them all up. No hesitation. Yep,
completely. Tyler Lockett, I think, is going to be a huge question mark for fantasy managers because of his last two performances and then coming off the bye. They just don't know what to expect from him. You fire him up as a high-end wide receiver too every single week with number one overall wide receiver upside.
I love it. Could not have said it better myself. He is 15th in my rankings this week. So exactly basically what you're saying. For the Cardinals, you're, of course, starting Kyler Murray in a great matchup. You're starting DeAndre Hopkins. How do you feel about Kenyon Drake after his big game against the Cowboys?
I'm more optimistic on Kenyon Drake moving forward. I think that he, again, the workload that he's seeing is too much to ignore, especially when we're looking at some of these other running backs. So I still think you can start him. I've got him at 18, 19 in my running back rankings. So definitely start him. But I think that this matchup is a little bit more tough for opposing running backs. So I'm tempering expectations, but I still think that you start him.
Yep. Again, 19th for me. I think that's where you said you had him. Not somebody who I'm like, yay, Kenyon Drake's going to smash in the spot. But again, this is where we are at running back. How about Christian Kirk here, you know, coming off the two touchdown game, only two catches, but how do you view him here against the Seahawks?
Yeah, I think that you plug in Christian Kirk as a low end wide receiver three. Again, phenomenal matchup. I want to see more from Kyler Murray before I trust Christian Kirk as anything more than a low end wide receiver three. But he's starting to become, I mean, he saw his snap count go up to 81% of the Cardinals snaps last week. So I think that his opportunity is growing in this offense. He's getting the targets. I just need to see more from Kyler Murray, from him completing 9 of 24 passes, that, you know, before I say, yeah, start Christian Kirk as anything more than a low end wide receiver three.
Yeah, Kirk is 36 for me. So right where you're talking about. Final game, Monday night, Bears versus Rams. Dave Montgomery, RB2, and Allen Robinson, a borderline wide receiver one this week?
David Montgomery, running back one.
Okay.
I have David Montgomery as a low-end running back one this week. And here's the thing.
Oh, I thought you meant no, your number one overall. No. That's why I laughed. I apologize.
No,
go
low
ahead.
End running back one. No, looking at Montgomery, his opportunity, he's presenting too safe of a floor. Now, we could look at this defense and we could say Aaron Donald against the Bears offensive line could have 5 sacks himself. But looking at Montgomery with his work in the receiving game, he's presenting a safe enough floor. Last week in a prime matchup, he should have had more than that. The Bears offensive line is atrocious, but yet David Montgomery was inches away from having a touchdown. It got ruled just short of the goal line. If he got that touchdown, he would have been the running back 6 on the week. So Montgomery, fire him up as a safe option, especially when we're looking at some of these other guys. Like I don't necessarily want to say like locked and loaded that fire up David Montgomery over Josh Jacobs, but you might be needing to do that because of Montgomery's safety with his work in the receiving game.
Yeah, so just let me make it as clear as possible because I feel like I laughed and like I legitimately thought you were making a joke as like, oh, he's my running back one. I have him 15th on the week. And again, I have Edwards-Helaire higher than him, slightly, one spot higher. So that's, again, something where you're a little lower on him. And then I have Jacobs 2 spots higher than him. The projections are right there for these guys. So I've got no issue if you essentially had Montgomery as a top 12 running back this week. Falls just outside of that for me. But I do think that, you know, right, for where we are running back, a guy like Montgomery, who is so involved in the passing game now without Tariq Cohen, who does get the goal line work, absolutely fire him up without question. And how about Robinson here?
Yeah, as a low-end wide receiver one, tough matchup against Jalen Ramsey, but again, he's seeing too many targets to ignore, so fire him up.
Are you starting Jimmy Graham?
Yeah, I am. Again, I mentioned it, 28 targets over the past 4 games. He's heavily involved in this offense, getting the targets, always has the potential to be utilized in the red zone. So, I would start Jimmy Graham over Jared Cook.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm a little lower. I'm 15th. But again, all these guys are in the same range. So I don't have particularly strong feelings about it. But I do have Graham at 15th and I would start Cook over him. Are you starting anybody else in the Bears or let's talk about the Rams?
No, I mean, Darnell Mooney is still someone to monitor on the waiver wire. But he, with the way this offense is looking right now against some very tough matchups, Mooney's involved, but he's not enough to be fantasy relevant.
There is an alternate universe where Anthony Miller is a wide receiver 3 each and every week, and I'm loving that place. For the Rams, are you good with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods both as wide receiver 2s this week?
Low-end wide receiver 2s. I'm not expecting big things from Jared Goff in this matchup. We saw him struggle last week, and historically, in the 2 games that he's played against the Bears defense, he has struggled, and that's putting it lightly. You know, like, I just think that he has 0 touchdown in the 2 games that Jared Goff has played. He has 0 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 50% completion rate, and averaging like 5.9 yards per attempt. Like, he just struggles in against this defense and in primetime. I don't know what it is with Jared Goff in primetime, but there is something to be said about that. So I'm just not excited to plug in Jared Goff, which limits or excited about Jared Goff this week, which limits the upside of these wide receivers.
Yeah, and again, Chicago's good against wide receivers anyway. So, yeah, I have Woods 20th and Kupp 21st. So my guess is we're in the same range as low-end wide receiver twos. And how about the running backs here? I mean, Darrell Henderson is the guy you're starting if you are starting anyone. And are you starting anyone?
Yeah, I'm starting Darrell Henderson. I'm a little bit more optimistic on Henderson than I think consensus or even, I mean, yourself and tags. Like, I've got Henderson at 17 this week. So I think that the Bears run defense is not the same with Eddie Goldman or without Eddie Goldman. And I think that, you know, Darrell Henderson has looked phenomenal. So I see no reason here, especially when you consider that Sean McVay is going to want to keep the ball on the ground. It's just the way that this offense is built now. Henderson's going to see enough opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 25th, so you're right. You are higher than him just because I think there's always the possibility that Sean McVay just says, no, yeah, we're going to get Cam Akers involved in this one, especially after last week where he didn't get him involved at all. And the quotes from McVay kind of, you see his thinking a little bit of it, even though it doesn't make all that much sense to me. But I could just, I'm a little more hesitant just because I worry about the random Sean McVay saying like, all right, we're good. This is going to be a Malcolm Brown game just because as soon as we're ready to buy in, he pulls the rug out from under us. All right, that is going to do it for today's show. Thank you to Hydrant. Feel rejuvenated and energetic with Hydrant. Listeners can save 25% off their first order. Go to drinkhydrant.com/fantasypros. Enter promo code fantasypros at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/fantasypros. Enter promo code fantasypros at checkout. Thanks also to FanDuel. Remember, try their new best ball contest by November 5th. And do not forget that new users can get a free entry to a contest all season long and a 20% deposit match up to $500. Just go to FanDuel.com/fantasypros. We will be back on Sunday night with our recap show, but do not forget that if you want more start sit advice, we've got a ton for you on Sunday. Check out our Instagram live session from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday mornings from the Fantasy Bros account. That is me. Or check out Tags' start sit live stream at 11 a.m. or Yates' at noon on Sunday on YouTube.com/fantasypros. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back recapping all of Sunday's action on Sunday night.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.